You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network and The Conversation with Adam Weber, lead pastor of Embrace Church and author of Love Has a Name.
Hey guys, whether it was intentional or not, you are listening right now to The Conversation. My name is Adam. As always, I am overjoyed to have the time with you. Hope it's been a great day, a wonderful week. I pray that even as I'm speaking right now, that God would fill and overflow your life with His joy and His peace. Even right now, maybe you just need to push pause on this and just pray the simple words, God, would you fill me with your joy because I don't have any. God, would you fill me with your peace right now because I'm restless. I pray that right now, God would supernaturally, by the power of the Holy Spirit, fill and overflow your life with His joy and His peace. Just to be candid, last night I could tell I was just in striving mode. Now, I'm an Enneagram 3. I am an achiever. I find joy. I find worth. I find my validation apart from God in achieving and producing. And so last night I was just going home and I was just like, gosh, is there anything more that I can produce? And I just heard God speak to me, Adam, there's no need to endlessly and restlessly strive for validation and value. Why? Because you are already fully and completely loved by me. You are already fully validated. You have infinite value because I created you, I made you, and I love you. And so I just want to speak those words. Maybe it's joy and peace. Maybe like me yesterday, right now, God, would you just supernaturally fill us with your love? And would we have a drive? Would we have a passion from that love, out of that love, not to try and find that love somewhere else, because we will not find it anywhere else. We might be able to find quick fixes and different things, and that looks different for each of us. For me, it's an achievement. It's an accomplishment. We might find that feeling just for a brief second, and yet it will never, ever fill or satisfy any part of our lives. And so I just want to encourage you in that way. Today, I am blown away. I had the chance to sit down with Chandler Moore. If you haven't heard any of his music, I'm going to do a link in the show notes to my favorite album. He teams up a lot with a group called Maverick City, which is cannot be any more hot right now, which is a weird thing to say about a worship group. And yet I feel like everyone is listening to Maverick City right now. If you're not, go and listen to them. They're passionate. As I sing with them, I fall more in love with Jesus. But Chandler, honestly, has just kind of exploded, which is an exciting thing. It's also kind of a scary thing. People like Justin Bieber are following Chandler right now on social, and so really a lot of people are taking note of what God's doing in and through him and in through Maverick City. And so I was excited to sit down with Chandler. I was blown away by his humility, just the person that he is. We hear his story. We hear what God's doing in and through him. We talk about racial issues. We talk about worship. We talk about a whole bunch of different things, but I'm really excited for you to hear this conversation. So as always, sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation. Well, Chandler, a huge honor to have the chance to sit down with you. I want to welcome you to the podcast today. I'm grateful.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored, man. Honored to be a part.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to hop right into your story, which I actually know virtually none of. I'm one of those fools who feels like you came out of nowhere, which is never the case. And so I'm like, overnight success. Yeah, the last 20 years. Like, let's...
I love it.
So if you want to share, like, where are you from, your parents, where music came in, God came in, I'll just ready, set, go, and then I'll pepper you with some questions in between.
Absolutely. So I am from Charleston, South Carolina, and in Charleston, South Carolina, I was born into a preacher's family. My dad is a pastor of several churches. So that was my life growing up. You know, if anyone who's in church can have some similar or some sort of understanding, just a degree of understanding what that might have been like. So being in church, I was around music my whole life. My dad's a musician, singer. And then my dad led a very musical church. I mean, music was what we did, choirs, bands, concerts. Like, it was just everything, any type of music you can think of is what we did. So I was around music for the first, all of my life. So I think, you know, I could say that just growing up, I had an inclination and just something to lean toward as far as music. And then basketball came. So I was a big basketball. I played basketball in varsity, in middle school, was on varsity team and did all this stuff with basketball. So I didn't know if music was even going to make it in the equation, because I was headed to college, scouts and all that type of stuff, you know, ready to just do basketball or whatever. So then about ninth grade, I would say, music came back and I would be in my garage for hours, you know, in my little studio, and just working on random songs, random music. So that's kind of how the journey started. I had my first job as a, I would say this with quotes in emphasis on minister of music, my first job, air quotes, at 16. I mean, I was 16 being the minister of somebody's church, minister of music at somebody's church, which was an interesting thing, but that groomed me to what I, a lot of what I would be doing now. And so that's the journey. That's a little bit of the journey.
I got to go back. So your dad or parents, are they still in ministry, a pastor?
Yeah.
What still, share a little bit more about, like, even your church, big church, small church, diverse church. You share that part of things.
My dad was a part. He was a part of an organization called AME Zion.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of people know AME, but there was another part of AME's that was added Zion on it. So he had a really big church here in Charleston. It was first AME Zion Church in Charleston, South Carolina. So it was a massive church. And our culture was not as diverse in race, but diverse in stories, diverse in music, diverse in backgrounds, you know, and where people came from in journeys and walks of life. So my music, what I grew up on, which is shocking, was very, I think, probably just to help people understand, like Pentecostal type. The music was, I mean, hardcore gospel music, like choirs, the organs, the just that type of vibe is what I grew up on. Very, I call it churchy, very churchy, black church, straight. But it was really good, very talented musicians. Like, it was the best of the best. So that's what I grew up in. And around, even though I grew up in it, I never loved that. Like, I was in it and I have moments where I enjoyed it, but I never, that's not where my heart was drawn to. I was drawn to more, I didn't even know what CCM was until I got older and started kind of learning the infrastructure stuff, but I was drawn to more contemporary worship styles of songs that weren't as musical, songs that didn't do as much musically, stuff that was a little more simple. So I was, even though I grew up in a very musically talented, I was drawn to more simple stuff. And it's weird because most people would think that wouldn't have had an impact on what I do now. I mean, you pull out an acoustic guitar, like pulling out an acoustic guitar at my dad's church would have been like, what are they doing? What is this?
That fool doesn't know Jesus.
Like, what is happening? But now that that's like my lane and my stuff, most people would think that wouldn't have an impact, but it had a lot of impact because now I get to merge what I saw growing up and merge like what I've loved. And I think that's what the collab, and that's kind of what people feel like from me. I'm gonna just stop right there.
Yeah, no, that is so good. Yeah. You just got to what I was so curious to know myself about you, because you're unique in what you do, and even just who follows you and listens to you. So share a little bit more. So you begin like, hey, music is my lane. Was there anything Jesus wise, like where you had any kind of change like there, or was he kind of a part of it from day one?
Yeah. So growing up in church, of course, you know, Jesus was in my face. That church stuff was in my face. But around maybe 13, 12, or I don't even remember the ages. This is really bad. I was just talking about it. I can't remember. It was around like 12-ish where I had, like, I was in a youth service. I was like, okay, I think it's time for me to get saved. Like, I know, I understand what this is. Let's do it. And, you know, I did the whole raise your hand thing, salvation, learn about it. But it wasn't until maybe like 14, 15, where I had my, like, first, like, encounter with God that was like, oh, shoot. You know, I got saved, but I didn't really commit to what I, you know, got saved for until I had that encounter with Jesus in the back of a very small church on the floor, like, oh, like, this is real. Like, whatever is happening is real. This is the Lord. So that was my first encounter. And I think that just fueled my passion. It was just a very raw, unadulterated, unmanicured, just really raw. Like, I'm in love with Jesus and I'm going to communicate it the best way I know how. So whether that was through, I could send you a private SoundCloud link with some of my very first worship. Like, it's really bad, but it was just all I had. All I had was a computer, a MacBook, and my computer mic, not even a professional microphone like you have now. All I had was the microphone on my computer, and I would download instrumentals from YouTube of He Loves Us, or I would download or make random songs on GarageBand and just write songs to communicate my love. And it was just very raw. And I may drop it on my, after this,
you need to, you not to have, so I will be looking for it.
I may do that. Just that just brought me to a place.
Well, I'm going to send our team to go try to hack stuff to be able to find it and dig it back out and just start sharing it. No. Man, so you start,
you find it, you will hit a pot of gold.
Yeah. So you start, I mean, just kind of experimenting yourself musically. From, and you had the one gig you kind of shared at the one church.
Yeah.
What went from there? Like, if you were to try to name maybe even 2 points that you felt a shift of, like, God opened the door or something like that.
I'll just let you
go for that.
So 16, I was doing music at that church, and I did that for, I think, a year and a half. When I was teaching people and teaching older people, not even people my age. I mean, people who I could have been their grandkids, like teaching them worship songs and stuff. Like, so you can imagine how that clash, you have a young, ambitious 16-year-old who loves the Lord, is very passionate, wants to see things. And then you got 60, 70-year-olds who are like, no, I want to sing. Like, it was just a mess. But I think that trained me. So after that, that was definitely like a starting point. After that, I think next was I started traveling and singing. Well, really, with this guy named Travis Green.
I just actually thought of a question. At that church, were you, like, legitimate question? Were you pulling out like an acoustic guitar at that point or no?
No. So okay. I still was on piano, but it wasn't like I was doing your 6-4-1-5 chord. Like, we're singing just very contemporary songs that they've never even heard of. Like, never. The most contemporary you got for them was maybe Israel Hope, maybe,
yeah,
maybe. But after that, that was definitely a point. After that, I started traveling with this guy named Travis Green. And I was with him. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
I have.
But he's big in gospel. But I started traveling with him when I was like 17, 18, would like get out of high school, hop on planes. It would just be me. It would just be me and him at the time. Like, he'd be on his guitar, his acoustic guitar behind him singing. So then, like, when I was like 18, 19, he blew up. He had a big song called Intentional. And it just literally took off, like, really, really fast. So I was able to see, like, a person handle the changing of seasons and also how to handle increased influence. So I would literally lived with him. So, like, I was there, like, whenever he would get calls from labels or, like, seeing him manage that stuff, that was definitely, like, a major point and like God kind of opening doors, just even for me, even though I wasn't pursuing it. I was literally my whole life, I was satisfied with being number two, or just, hey, I'm gonna travel with this guy for the rest, serve his ministry, you know, make sure that he has everything he needs. And God orchestrated a little differently. But I took everything I learned from that season, and now that I'm in my own thing that the Lord is doing, I have so much wisdom to apply from that. So I think that was a major point. I think the small church and also the increased influence, seeing, watching Travis handle that, were probably like major 2 points that like helped me manage and, you know, kind of do what God's doing now. I mean, honestly, what everybody's seeing now just happened within the last year and a half. Like, I've been doing music since I was 14. Yeah. Like, I released my first EP since I was, like you were saying, since I was 14. And this, what the Lord is doing, the favor, just like, it just happened a year and a half. So like,
Share, was there a turning point in that? Because again, just like from my perspective, It which is always such a lie. Like again, like he came out of nowhere. No, he's been doing this his whole life. But what did change? Like, why do I know about you now? Yeah, and my kid is playing piano with you up in his upstairs bedroom. Like, what the heck happened there?
That's wild. Yeah, I think the scary thing, you know, Adam, is I've been doing it for a while. I've been serving other people for a while. I've been serving ministries and other leaders and other visionaries for all my life. And even when I first stepped out foot to do something solo, it took off. Like my solo stuff, I mean, I've released two or three singles before in my life, but weren't like full out. I just wanted to get music out just to do it. But I really just started doing this thing a year and a half ago. Like, 2 years ago, as far as solo and walking, and that happened through Mav. Like, I was set to record my first, well, not my first, I did two live recordings before, I just never released it. But my first one, I was like, all right, I'm gonna release it, it's time.
I'm gonna send my team to go hack those too. Keep going.
Bro, if you find it, you will
just
find
give me
those.
The name of the album that they need to search for.
So this was like the first one, I was like, all right, the Lord has given, I feel the release to like release this. So me and a guy named Tony Brown, who is one of the founders of Maverick, who's the founder, he used to be a part of House Fires. So we sat down, we were like, all right, let's just get a whole bunch of people in a room together. I like very raw, intimate circles. That's how I flow. Like, that's when you get the best of me. Like, we're in an intimate space and we're able to just go for broke, you know, whatever. So we did that and we set that up. Like, all right, let's just get a whole bunch of random people in a room and do that. And then I wanted some of my friends to be part, Brandon Lake, Dante Bow, just to hop on there and sing some songs. And we did that and it just exploded. Like, I don't even know. Like, to this day, it's just been the hand of the Lord and just the favor of the Lord that just happened. So that's kind of another point. Like, my move to Atlanta December of 2018, I met Stephanie Gretzinger. I met all these people at a writing camp. We were just getting together. And out of relationship, just things just started happening. That was just the Lord. There was just no other explanation besides the Lord.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now, a message from a network supporter.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Today's episode is sponsored by our friends at Faithful Counseling. I just got to ask, is there something currently interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? For many of us, that can be anxiety, depression, fear, or even broken relationships. But this is where Faithful Counseling comes in. Faithful Counseling is a worldwide counseling service that makes professional counseling accessible, affordable, and convenient so that anyone facing life's challenges can get help anytime, anywhere. Faithful Counseling offers four different ways to get connected to a licensed counselor. You can sit down for video calls, phone calls, live chat, or instant messaging. Every counselor at Faithful Counseling is licensed and has over 3,000 hours of experience. If you think Faithful Counseling is for you, you can sign up today and be matched with your counselor in 24 hours or less. Faithful Counseling can help us to live our healthiest lives in the comfort and safety of our homes. Be sure to check out Faithful Counseling at faithfulcounseling.com/theconversation. Again, that's faithfulcounseling.com/theconversation. Now, back to the show.
What I love about you, what you mentioned, is your years of serving others.
Man.
And then your years of just being faithful and hustling when nobody's looking at you, nobody's watching you. And even that experience with Travis, my gosh, what a priceless experience to see someone else walk through that season and just know how to manage that. Cause I know from the outside, there's fun parts of it where you're like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Like I get to meet this person or I get this stage or whatever. But also there's a whole lot of other crap that nobody knows about, where you're getting hate from people that you never, like, why are you questioning my relationship with Jesus now? You don't even know who I am. I mean, like, just haters come out of the woodwork and it's like, what? I thought this was fun.
I'm worried about you.
Yeah. Like when, you know, it's so weird how we celebrate people, but then we cheer on their downfall. Like all of a sudden it gets to this place where, and I almost feel like you're at that place where all of a sudden more haters just start coming out of the woodwork. It's like, what, do you guys have like, man, a club think, where you just decide who you're going to pick on this month?
I think it's wild. One thing my pastor tells me often is influence and hate grows at the same rate and the same time. The more influence you get, the more you should expect to be hated and just disliked. I mean, we see it in the life of Jesus. The more it was revealed who Jesus was, and the more he spoke the truth about who he was, and the more he walked in his calling, the more hate came. And it's not to say like the whole, like, I'm always gonna have haters, but the truth is you're always gonna have people who misunderstand and misdiagnose what you're called to. And I think I'm learning to have the tough skin to be okay with it, because not everyone is called to understand. Not everyone is supposed to understand. You're gonna have opposition. You're gonna have people who speak against what you're doing. But as long as you're rooted and grounded in what you know the Lord has said and spoken over you, I think it won't faze you. Man, I can't tell you the many times I'm literally on Instagram about to fuss back with people and fight back and reply. And my girlfriend is literally on Hannah and literally having to be like, yo, like, just chill. It's okay. This person, this comment won't even matter tomorrow. Like, you're going to forget what they said. So don't even respond in the moment. So I'm still learning that because it's tough. I want everyone to like me. I want everyone to understand, like, I'm a sweet guy. I'm not, you know, I love the Lord. I actually do. But, you know, not everyone's called to understand that. So.
Oh, isn't that the truth? Influence increases, hate increases. That makes me want to climb under a rock if I've ever.
This is what I'm saying, Adam. People want to be famous and all this stuff. Church celebrities, y'all can keep it. I don't want it. I want to sit at home with my kid and just hang. But I mean, it's kind of what you, when you say yes to the calling of God, you say yes to all the stuff that comes with it.
Isn't that the truth? Okay, so I want to shift. So. Again, I'm kind of fascinated, like, and you shared a little bit of it, of I don't know why someone who looks like me is now been like, I don't know why it's taken this long to come across someone like yourself musically, like, because, you know, like, very few people. I love little Marvin Gaye. I love little Fred Hammond. Like, But Maverick City and what you're part of, Chandler, I feel like is pushing outside of those circles and getting to more and more people like me.
Yeah.
Why is that the case? Like, if you were trying to diagnose that, like, why?
Yeah.
Why that?
I think, in as short as I can answer, I think worship has gotten too produced. And I think what was missing in worship, or what has kind of faded out, I don't think it's been, I think it's been with pure intention. I think people just want to be excellent, and people are just trying to, you know, because it used to be worship wasn't produced at all.
Yeah.
But now I think it's gotten to a place where it's just too programmed. It's too predictable. It's too, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Too marketable. That's really like people are just really trying to market it. So I think what Maverick did that came and changed the scene was like, hey, we're here with no agenda. And we're here as raw as it gets and as authentic as it gets. Like, you're going to hear the mess ups. You're going to hear the ad libs that may not make sense, but you're going to, it's going to provoke something in the room. Like, we don't really edit our vocals. Like, it's just raw, it's authentic, but you get the most authentic form. And I think that's what people feel. Like, when you listen to Maverick, you feel just authenticity of an anointing that is just raw. That's like, hey, we want the Lord to come. We don't know what it's going to sound like. We don't know what it's going to feel like. We're just ready for the Lord to come and we're going to respond. So that's what Mav, and I think that's why it's blown up, because we're in a generation and a time where people want something authentic. People want to know the behind the scenes. People want to see, you know, what's really happening. They don't want it to just be pretty. They, if it's going to be raw or if it's going to be out there, they want it to be authentic.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that's the space that Maverick came and filled, and it's touching hearts and kind of awakening people to realize, like, yo, it doesn't have to be the prettiest, or it doesn't have to sound the most produced, or it doesn't have to sound the most prepared. As long as it's authentic and it's from your heart, it'll connect with hearts everywhere.
Yeah, no, that's incredible. And I just thought of it. Like I just the other night I was thinking about it. I'm like, right now my son is learning Man of Your Word up in on his keys, and he's singing the top of lungs, his top of his lungs with you. And I, as just to be honest, I love that that's in my home. And I love that my son's being exposed to that. And even the other day, he just randomly, he's an eighth grader, and just kind of his deep thought of the day is he said, he randomly brought up Maverick City and said, I love that there's people that look like Wilson. So my, I have a Ethiopian son. He's like, I love that there's people who look like Wilson. There's people who look like me. And, they're like singing together. Cause again, just from his experience, he's like, I don't, that's the only group I know that does that.
Yeah.
And, just even the racial conversation, Chandler, what has that looked like for you just in this last year and a half where things really have blown up? Like,
yeah.
Is the diversity something that's intentional of wanting to collaborate that in that way? And I don't even know what the question is in there.
No, I got you. Just background. I think it's weird that I'm walking in this space and walking in this, you know, this thing that's called Maverick with all the diversity, especially in this time. I grew up in a very diverse culture. My church wasn't as diverse, but I went to a Catholic school my whole high school years, my whole 4 years. Went to a private school in middle school that was literally, all of my school, my Catholic school, I was one out of four Black people out of 950 kids. So I grew up around diversity, grew up around, you know, being comfortable with other people who don't look like me. So now that Maverick is in this space and in the spotlight and being highlighted, especially in this intense racially, just intense time, I feel one on one side, but on the other side, I am super cautious. And there's a scripture, I feel like it's in First Chronicles or First Samuel. I mean, or Samuel, or somewhere. I don't know.
I won't hold
when
you
Samuel too. Was saying, it said David inquired of the Lord, and this was after his battle with the Philistines, where he defeated the Philistines, and you know, with the help of God, he just came through and destroyed them. But he was about to go into another battle, and it said David inquired of the Lord, and I thought that was cool because instead of going off the victory of his last battle and what he felt like he was prepared to do and just going to the new battle, like, man, all right, I'm ready. I'm prepared. You know, he went back to the Lord. Like, all right, Lord, what do you want me to do? So as prepared as I feel for these racial times, as prepared as people in Maverick is, and I'll get to that.
No, this is good.
We're still like very cautious on the tip of like, all right, Lord, what is it that you want to say? Where is your heart in it? Where is your voice? Where is your spirit leading us? because on the flip side, no, the this Versity at Maverick is not intentional. Like, we didn't get together, which I feel like a lot of churches do, with pure intentions, but it kind of has the bad fruit.
Yep.
Right, all right, let's get a Black person. Let's get an Indian person. Let's get a Hispanic person. Let's get a white person. We need to hire a Black person to be on stage just so we can. That's not what happened with Mav. What happened is we actually are friends, like, outside of music and outside the purpose.
What a crazy concept.
Yeah, what a ridiculous thing. Like, I actually have a white friend named Brandon Lake. Like, we didn't just get together just to make math. It actually took time. I actually have an Indian friend named Marianne who I FaceTime. Like, we just have friends. Like, we're actually friends. Like, we sit down at the table before we sit down on a platform or sing together. We sit down at the table and we have real conversations. Like, hey, what is it like being an Indian woman or like in your church? Because in that culture, most women aren't respected like that in this life. Or what is it like having to, you know, be a white man who goes to a majority white church, but lead aside Black leaders? Like, what is that like? What is the slack? Do you get the slack? Like, so we have conversations like that. We're actually friends. So I think friendship and out of relationship is able to become an authentic math. Now, if we were just getting up there just like, all right, we need to push diversity, we need to do this, it wouldn't feel as authentic. Like, you wouldn't be able to look at the videos and see me and Brandon Lake looking at each other's eyes and being able to feed off the authentic energy. Like, because we're friends. Like, Brandon prays for my family. Like, we're actually friends. So I think that's what a lot of people feel. And in this time, in this racially diverse time, that's the answer. Like, to have relationship with people who don't look like you. And before trying to make it to the altar, Stephanie Gretzinger said this before pandemic. She said, the new altars are tables. Tables are the new altars. Before pandemic, before we were shut down, we really had to meet around tables. She said, tables are the new altars. And that's kind of what we made our motto. Like, before I'm going to come down and worship you or try to do anything with you, I want to sit with you at a table and try to understand you. We don't have to be best of friends, but I want to learn about you. You know what I'm saying? I want to know what your background is like. I don't just want to be intentional on diversity and race. I want to be intentional on diversity and background, because not every person of the same color has the same story. So that's what we're intentional about, and that's how we're handling. I think, and even to kind of dive further in like what's happening with Mav, like we're breaking down like the walls that wall people would never think were even up. I mean, man, just for instance, we posted a picture of Breonna Taylor just to honor and acknowledge the injustices that happened. I mean, anyone with eyes can look at what's going, and if you look at all the story, you can see, all right, something's just not right. We just posted a picture to honor that and to, hey, we believe for justice for this. The hate that we receive from people who would say they're Jesus lovers and love worship music and go and give and was ridiculous.
Insane.
And
it's not
even us. Like, people, we literally receive messages of like, hey, stick to singing. Don't involve yourself in. And we're like, no, like, it's not just dearest father, closest friend, most beautiful that's on the heart of Jesus. It's actually like injustices, things that matter. Like, it doesn't have to be either or. It doesn't have to be abortion and racial injustice. It can be both and. Both are on the heart of Jesus. Like, it matters to him. So I think we're about that. We're about the heart of Jesus, what matters to him. And believe it or not, to anyone who's listening, racial injustice matters to Jesus.
Man, Chandler, everything you said. No, everything you said, you were preaching, and my gosh, everything you said was spot on, and actually a lot of things that I personally needed to hear. You know, like, I joked about it, but it seems like a foreign thing to actually have relationship. You know, it feels like we're supposed to kind of portray something, and so a lot of us are trying to portray something, like get the white person up there or get this person up there. And it's like, this starts with actual relationships. Like, actually loving somebody and hearing a person's story. Last question, Brandon Lake, it's got a, I feel like there's maybe a slight bromance, just a little bit.
Man, like, that is my brother. We're from the same city.
It's got to be.
He's my son.
How's it going?
Say hi.
What's his name?
His name is Chandler. I call him Deuce.
Deuce. Well, Deuce, it's nice to get to meet you. No, Chandler, I just want to thank you for the time today. And I'm grateful for your music. Thanks for pouring into my oldest. And just know that there's a whole bunch of people cheering you on. You're going to have haters, but there's a whole bunch of people, including this Yahoo in South Dakota, that's behind you. And so,
yeah, man.
Just
I got to come see the Yahoo. I got to come see you, man.
Thanks for listening to The Conversation with Adam Weber. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network. You can find more from Adam Weber on Instagram and Twitter and at adamweber.com.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.